Okay, so we're picking up the Meshech Chachma for Parshas Noso, and wanted to start with the Meshech Chachma on page Shin Yud Gimel, the bottom left-hand column, which is based on the Pesukim in the beginning of Perek Hay in Bamidbar. By Davar Hashem and Moshe Leimar, Hashem said to Moshe, spoke to Moshe saying, Sadat B'nai Zok, command of the Jewish people, Yishalchum in Amachaneh, if it should send forth from the camp called Saruah, B'chozov, B'chotomi, Lonofesh. We already talked about this passage last week. The Jewish people should send forth from the Machanos, from the various different camps, you know, the three different camps, anyone who's Mitzora outside of all three camps, anyone who's a Zav outside of the two camps, and anyone who's a Tomei Nefesh, anyone who's Tomei out of the Machanos Shechina, the innermost camp, etc. The Jewish people did so. They sent out these various people to the various camps that they were supposed to leave. Hashem diber Hashem el Moshe, just as Hashem had spoken to Moshe, came also b'nei Yisrael. That is exactly what the Jewish people did. So the Meshech Chachma picks up on a little linguistic thing over here, which in a million years, maybe you would notice, I would never notice. But he says as follows. Hinei b'chol atzara kula, b'noach, u'be'avraham, u'be'tesach rishon v'sheni, u'be'asiyah samishkon, u'be'alaviyim, u'be'karbonos, k'siv, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein osu. Right, if you look elsewhere in Chumash, and he gives you a whole list of places, the phraseology which is always used is Ka'asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, Kein Osu B'nei Yisrael. As God commanded Moshe, that's what the Jewish people did. The Kan Pasach Tzavet B'nei Yisrael, and here in contrast, the Parsha opens up, command of the Jewish people, Tzavet B'nei Yisrael, Lashon of Tzav. But Umisayan Kasher Diber Hashem El Moshe. It ends up with the words Kasher Diber Hashem El Moshe, just as Hashem spoke to Moshe, and not Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. That seems to be the more common phrase. Alright, so, you know, even if, so what? Okay, interesting. Okay, what's the significance of that?
We had this idea once before.
Yeah. Right, so let's see how that applies over here. Right, it's astounding. So it seems to me, says the Meshech Chachma, that this is pshat in that little change over here. Not kasher tiva Hashem es Moshe, but kasher diber Hashem el Moshe. Mishum b'tzav dorish b'tzifri zirus. Whenever you have tzav, command, it's the Sifri tells us that it means the Lashon Zirus, that the, you know, whoever is doing the commanding is urging on the recipient to follow through. And oftentimes Sav as well is used where there's some kind of financial loss. The Eino El Lashon Atara, for who begins to code, umisavitz vay shilton, it's kind of like an army officer telling, you know, the people, the soldiers, what it is that they have to do. The Kan, it's not a mitzvah l'shloach mitzvah chutz l'machane Yisrael, ze eino kosher, ze eino tzorach pekudo v'yatoro, rak mitzad ha-mitzoro im l'shalchom chutz le'anon u'l'rivi mohim. So, let's consider this mitzvah for a moment. The mitzvah to send the mitzoroim outside of the three machanos. Is this a difficult mitzvah to perform, or an easy mitzvah to perform? So he says, well, it really depends from whose perspective, right?
Both sides.
So for the Mitzorah, it's for sure painful. And in fact, it's probably not just painful for the Mitzorah. You know, if one was the Mitzorah first hearing this this mitzvah, you know, by the way, you have to be sent outside of all three machanos, which in the Midbar, as he points out, means you get sent out of the Anoni Akavud. Not just, you know, uncomfortable, embarrassing, but likely dangerous. The Anoni Akavud of protecting the Jewish people, you get thrown out of the Anoni Akavud. like being thrown out of the street, you know, without protection. So the Mitzrayim, likely, were, you know, very hurt, you know, very reluctant. One could imagine that the Mitzrayim, in theory, could have put up a fight. I mean, you know, they could have refused to go. You know, we're going to squatter strike, we're going to sit down, we'll picket, you know. You can imagine the Mitzrayim might have reacted in such a fashion. And yet, from the other side, from the point of view of the Meshalchim of Klal Yisrael, again, Rabbi Reuben is very sensitive, you know what I mean, but not everyone is also to be as sensitive as Rabbi Reuben. From the point of view of the Meshalchim, could be that they didn't think there was such a difficult Mitzrayim. Yeah, Mitzrayim. It's not very pleasant having Mitzrayim around the Machane Yisrael. Yeah, let's send them out, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Let them go hang out at somebody else's house, right? So, from the point of view of the Mishalchim, maybe it wasn't such a hard mitzvah. From the point of view of the Mishalchim, those being sent, clearly it would have been a hard mitzvah.
Even the Kohen is supposed to be sensitive. So, certainly, the Mishalchim is sensitive.
Yeah, but we're not talking about what's supposed to be, we're talking about what is. Right? In other words, we're not talking about what should you. Yes, of course, the people sending people out should be sensitive. He's given mitzvahs to make him sensitive. Here we're just talking about not what you should be feeling. Here we're talking about what would is this a mitzvah which most people, when they are given, would feel, oh, he never has to send these mitzvahs. He suggests, again, you know, maybe you'd feel differently, but the Mishnah Chacham was suggesting that the average person would not see this as a difficult thing to do, to ask the Mitzrayim to leave, especially now that we have a tzivui from Hashem to do so. Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, okay. Not everybody was on the Madrega, but Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? You know. It's the reality. I mean, we're not talking about what should be, if those people had a choice between giving $1,000 and asking the Mitzrayim to politely leave the three Machanos, I don't know, most people would probably find it easier to ask the Mitzrayim to leave the three Machanos. Abba Hashem, Yem Tzadikim, okay, so, but, I think most people would not be so inclined. Ala Avol HaMitzrayim Kiblu Zebet Simcha. Interesting, he notes the Mitzrayim themselves, even though in theory they could have put up a fight, they accepted this Gzeira B'Simcha. They were happy to leave. Why? Not just because they thought that the smorgasbord was better outside, right? No. They were happy with Kafir Me'avona Mizveach Kapara. They knew that being sent out of the Machane represented a Kapara for the sins of Lashon Hara, etc., that had brought the Tzaraat on them in the first place, right? So the Mitzrayim were happy to leave. Now, especially now, since the Mitzrayim were happy to leave, the Mishalchim were certainly happy to see them go, right? The not-so-nice people were happy to see them go because it's uncomfortable having all these Mitzrayim walking around the Machane. And the great Tzadikim were also happy to see them go. Why? Because we're happy. If you're happy getting Kapara, we're also happy that you're getting Kapara. So this was a mitzvah which, in the theory, could have been a difficult mitzvah, but actually turned out to be not a difficult mitzvah to fulfill. Not for the ones sending them out, not for the ones being sent out. Okay, so hold on a second. Imkein lo hayo ki mekayim azhara, rak ki'ilu diber Hashem, gam kein osu. So now, says the Meshech Chochma, that's all in the Pasuk. When you say, kasher tzivo Hashem kein osu, as God commanded, so they did, the implication is that even though the command was something which intuitively we wouldn't have done, and it's something that we did with great difficulty. In other words, when when the commander of the army says, okay, everybody drop down and give me 50. I have no personal experience with this. I couldn't do 3, right? But, when the commander says, okay, everybody drop and give me 50, right? So, okay, if you're a soldier, you do what you're told to do, but, you know, I don't think everybody jumps up for joy and says, oh, good father, give us 60, give us 70, give us 80, right? In other words, it's kasher tzivo keno, so as the command comes down, so that's what we do. You know, we have no choice. We follow orders. But kasher diber Hashem keno, so as God spoke, so too the Jewish people followed suit. it implies that the response was not just the, okay, the begrudging response to the commandment, right, that in a certain sense we had to go against what our nature was telling us to do. Here they eagerly embraced what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, and that subtle difference in how they received this mitzvah is implied in Kasher Diber Hashem El Moshe Kein Asu B'nai Yisrael, as opposed to being Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe.
You also see that it's going to that Moshe Tzivo is Moshe Tzivo.
Right. Right.
So that fits
in very well. Right. That was the idea of Dibur being a Lashon Chibah, a Lashon of closeness and love fits in over here. Because Baruch Hu lovingly told them this, right, and they followed through with a similar amount of love. Right? Ukmo, the Amar V'Sifri, the Sifri actually says part of this. The Sifri doesn't make the Diyuk in the Pasuk, as the Meshech Chachma did, but the Sifri does come and Sha'achat Tzmeim Lo Ikvu, that, you know, the Tzmeim also did not give a hard time over here. V'lo Hayu Amishalchim Tzrichim Larivi Mohem. And those who were sending them out didn't have to force them out or argue with them or anything. V'hayu Nakel L'kayin Ezeh, and this whole procedure, which you could have imagined. Look, I know from experience, you try to move people around in any circumstance, you know, you people over here, you people over there, you know, people don't always react very nicely to being told where to sit, where to go, what to do, that sort of thing. And here, everything went, you know, picture perfect, you know, because the Mitzvah were more than happy to go out and get their kapara, so everything was just smiles and happiness and wonderful feelings all around. It wasn't Kasher Tziva Hashem Kein Asu, but Kasher Dibir, they received it in a tremendous amount of love. Now, the Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Reuben points out, only really addresses the Mitzorah. There are two other examples over here, that the Zavim and the Tzmeim are sent out of their respective camps, right? What about them? So I suspect the answer to that question is, of these three Shiluchim, the one which is most traumatic is the Mitzorah being sent out of the Matanei Yisrael. First of all, he's sent out of the Onon, right? He's sent out of the Anoni HaKovet, so I mean, there's a physical danger involved over here. If you tell a Tomei not to come into the Matanei Shechina, okay, so he won't go to the Matanei Shechina. It's also more on the first two Shiluchim, you know, the Tomei out of the Matanei Shechina and the Zav out of the Matanei Leviya, are somewhat more understandable on a certain level. You know, the average person could make his peace with that. You know, Moshe Lama Adav Adoma, you know, a guy who's not religious comes into the shul, you go over to, he's not bareheaded. You go over, you say, look, you know, this is a holy place, would you mind putting on a yarmulke? Okay, so in the shul, most people, unless, you know, they're one of the three communists, you know, who are still left in the world, you know, most people, you know, they'll put in a yarmulke when they come into the shul, even if they wouldn't do so ordinarily. You go to a guy in the street, and you say, you know, you're sitting bareheaded on the park bench reading a newspaper, would you mind putting on a yarmulke? He'll give you a hard time, make a face, you're a boss over the street. People understand that religious places have their own sets of rules, and, you know, you're supposed to act a little bit differently in a religious place than you would ordinarily. So in other words, the Machane Shechina, the Machane Leviya, these were places that were religious places, so to speak. So, you know, they understood, okay, you know, I'm not on a Madrega to be here. You know, I'm a Tale, I'm a Zav, whatever it happens to be. But to kick a guy out of the Machane Yisrael, you know, that's already something which he's more likely to rebel against. And that's why, you know, the biggest Chiddush is that the Shiluach HaMitzorayim, the sending out of the Mitzorayim, that was something which, in theory, could have been ugly, right? And Baruch Hashem, everyone was mekabel it with a tremendous degree of simcha, you know, and here, the Meshech Chachma is seeing in the Pasuk, right, in the difference of one word, the difference between Siva and Dibur, and Diber, is the source for what the Sifri is saying, that the Mitzorayim were mekabel this, the Ava, the Simcha, and, you know, they didn't put up a fight, you know, when they were asked to leave the Machane.
How did they get food?
I mean, the line
was weekend on air cover was, so...
So how did
they get food?
Guess, could they bring the money outside of the Anon Yaakov?
A month ago?
They called on their cell phone, you know, pick up. Yeah, I don't know. I think even though the money only fell from the Anon Yaakov, but Chara could be brought outside of the Anon Yaakov. I don't think it would be.
Well, they're in a position to make the money. They're paying themselves.
Yeah, but did the man fall there, or it had to be brought to them outside the Ananiya Kavod? I don't know. I don't know, so I would guess even if it didn't fall there, you know, people could bring it to them and...
Didn't let them start.
Yeah, no, 100%. No one was suggesting letting them start.
But,
what's that? What's that?
Chinese restaurant, or food, bike.
Right. Exactly, the bike lanes, you know, that were there. Okay. So, let's take a look on page Shin Tesvav.
Yeah.
Question. Right. So I think even if you say Dibur is a Lashon Kasha, but it's still lower than Sivui. Now, Sivui means snap to attention. Dibur means I'm telling you to do something. Again, look, self. It's not easy to pick up and live outside of the Anoni HaKov, but it's not Amiro, which is Mavish Lashon Raka. It's no big deal. It's a big deal. But it's a big deal that they were Mekabel, you know, and they did it, even though, you know, it was difficult at a certain level. One of the other mitzvahs which is discussed in the Parsha is the Parsha of Sota. And just wanted to discuss one Meshech Chachma where he talks about the idea of Sota. Perek Hei Pasuk Yutes, Vishpia Osa Akoen, the woman who's a sota, and remember, a sota is not just a woman who's suspected of adultery, as sometimes some of the English translations indicate to us. A sota is the woman for whom we have decent grounds, you know, to think that she committed adultery. It's not just, you know, an accusation or something like that, or a vague suspicion. A woman to become a sota had to have kinoi vitzira, right? In other words, the husband told her in front of two eidim, don't seclude yourself with that man over there. And she went ahead and secluded herself with that man in the presence of Adam. So we certainly know, I mean, whether she was intimate with him or not, we certainly know that she's guilty of yichud. In other words, she's for sure not a total tzadekes, right? In other words, she certainly did something which is also, you know, yichud is an esedaraisa. You know, she certainly did something which is prohibited, which, you know, was certainly pushing the envelope in terms of what she should be doing, right? So once she fulfills those requirements, she's brought to the Beis HaMikdosh to undergo the drinking of the Mei Sota. So the Pasuk says, Tarekei Pasuk Yitesh, Vishpia Usa HaKohen, the Kohen makes her swear as follows, V'omar El Ho'isha, and he says to the woman as follows, Imlo Shachav Ish Osach, Vimlo Sotis Tumotachas Ishes, if you were not unfaithful. So then, Hinoki, Minei hamorim hameorim ha'egle. So then you should be cleansed from these bitter, cursed waters. Va'at kisotis tachos yishech v'chinit meis. But if you were unfaithful, right? So then, as the Pasuk goes on to say in Chosei, Yitei Hashem osach la'olov l'shua v'soch hameich. You should be a source of curse, you know, of derision, of cursing amidst your nation, and, you know, you're going to die this horrific death as per the Mei Sota. What is, when the Pasuk says in your test, if you're innocent, in low self is tumat hachas yishech, if you haven't committed adultery, hi naki mimei hamarim hama'arim ha'ela, you should be cleansed by these bitter, cursed waters. What exactly does that mean? So, the Pashut of Pshat is that these waters should not do anything to you. In other words, you should go through this test, and hinoki, you will be found to be innocent. Right? As noki in the sense of, you know, you come clean, right? In other words, you didn't. So it will emerge that you didn't do anything. Right? So the Meshech Chachma is a different pshat. Right, so the Gemara dashes it, that it's actually two things. If you didn't do anything, he no ki. If you did something, chinki, then you'll be choked. Right? That's not the positive shot in the positive, because the positive shot in the positive is talking about if she was faithful. Right? So in other words, positive shot in the positive, because he no ki, you will come out of this okay. Right? As Shachavu gives a different pshat, beautiful pshat. Yitachin,
the
By the Tosefta, Sota makes the following point. The truth is, even if the woman is quote-unquote innocent, she actually gets off pretty easy. Why? Because as we pointed out before, there's no such thing as a Sota who's innocent. The only Shaila is, was she intimate with the guy or was she not intimate with the guy? Right? But the fact that she committed a major Aveira, you know, the fact that she was misyachid, that she secluded herself with the guy, that everybody knows, right? That was their agent on the fact that she secluded herself with the guy. So our truth, so she certainly is. I mean, she's not going to, you know, she's not going to win the Ksheira of the Year award or anything like that. Our truth, so she certainly is. Right? She definitely did something wrong. So that's what Tosefta says. The truth is, either way, she should be subject to tremendous, she should be subject to tremendous yitzurim. She gets off easy if she doesn't explode. Right? It's her fault. I mean, you know, she's not this totally innocent woman who's falsely accused. I mean, you know, we know that there's Raglaim Ladova, she did something. Elisha Nibul Goramlo Liosnoki. Lechach Nemar Venikisova Isha. But the ordeal itself, that purifies her, it's mechaper for the Aveira of the Yichud.
Is it the humiliation?
Yes, the way he puts it is the humiliation. The nevel, the humiliation, she's brought to public, she's her clothes are ripped open in the front, her hair is undone, you know, she's subjected to this very, very public and terrible ordeal, right? So that ordeal is mechaper for the sin of Yichud, which she committed. By the way, he tells us, you know, Yichud is not just one of these, you know, Yichud, whatever. Yichud is goring that the woman has to go through this tremendous evil in order to be mechaper for it.
Also, but this was Yichud with Ashra and Aiden.
Yeah, okay. But so, you know, it's Yichud, right? And that's what it says later on in the Pasuk. If the woman does not die from the Mesot, it says the Niksa. Niksa means, again, she should be cleansed, right? Oftentimes we translate that as she shall be found to be innocent, but the Tosefta is saying no. The Niksa means she's cleansed. The very act of undergoing the ordeal that cleanses her, it's mechaper for her. Pirush, that is to say, she'atim tahara hi ru'uyu liyisur, amash she'nistur al im ha'ish, v'chnisa atzma, l'sofek hazeh. Right, again, she deserves punishment just by virtue of violating the yichud. I'm going to skip the parentheses for a moment. Rach she'mash she'hi mitzbaza u'mitznabeles, v'shosa mayim ha'morim ha'ma'orim. Right, the fact that she is disgraced and, you know, exposed in such a terrible fashion, and she drinks the bitter water, it's called Eila Garno Shetemu Chuperes. All of these bring about her kapar, who is that Tunuke and Neozo. And she is cleansed in this way. What is, and that's what the Pasuk says later on, the woman is cleansed. Shetunuke Neozo? She sinned. She needs a kapara one way or the other. Right? The question is the kapara going to come with her death or with her humiliation? But the humiliation itself is the kapara, you know, for the fact that she engaged in yichud. V'zesh amar kroim lo shochav ish osach. So that's the part of the pshat in our pasuk as well. If you were not intimate with the person that you were accused of being intimate with, av shechotos ozer shistar tatsmech oseis alayich shem ra v'goram tuli mochik shem shomayim. Now even if you weren't intimate with him, you're still not such a good girl. Because sof kol sof, look what you did. You engaged in yichud. You sullied your reputation, right? Which interesting, the Meshech Chachma says there's a chiyah for a person to make sure that they have a good reputation, right? For the woman to put herself in a situation where people are speaking all kinds of rumors about her is in itself a sin. And she also, she's brought about the Mechikah Pashem, the erasing of God's name, as the Megillah Sota is dipped into the water and the Shem Hashem is erased. All of that is because of her. She would have just behaved herself. So none of this would have happened. So she needs a tremendous kapara. So if you're not guilty of being intimate, you're only guilty of the other things, so that's the pasuk. When the pasuk says, it means that these waters should cleanse you. The waters themselves should be a kapara for the other sins, okay, they wouldn't work for the big sin of intimacy, but they will work for these other sins that you certainly have on your plate. Oz tinaki minachet. Then you will be cleansed from sin. Sheshti osom yinaklo osach yichuper avonech l'sei avinu shabashomayim. The mei sota are not only a destructive force, and this is the beautiful pshat Meshachachma say, the maid sota, they're a double-edged sword. They're a destructive force for the woman who was intimate and committed adultery, but they're also a purifying force for the woman who was not intimate, but still sinned in a certain way. Hinoki mi mei hamarim hamarim ha'elem. These cursed bitter waters, these will bring about your nikayon. They will bring about your cleansing. In a spiritual sense, they're not just bad, they're good as well. Right? So it's just a fascinating idea of the Meshech Chochmah. We usually think of the Meisota as being a weapon, you know, a poison, you know, something which is going to bring about Puranos. Meshech Chochmah is saying, yes, that's true, but there's a flip side to it also. These are waters of kapara, which are mechaper for the woman who needs a lesser type of kapara.
Doesn't she, isn't there a part where if she's a
kapara,
then she can have
children? Right. In this case, the niksa ha'isha, the nizra zora, right? She's cleansed, and then she is, you know, she's able to have children afterwards.
Right. So having a kapara is one thing, but warning up for what she did, that seems...
Right. So the Gemara starts to talk about that, right? So in other words, if you're, you know, if a woman wants to get pregnant, right? So ironically, she'll go through this process, right? I think, you know, to put that in with the Meshech Chochmah's idea, all of that goes back to the power of these Meimarim HaMa'arim. Right? As we think that these are just waters of punishment and terrible negativity, these are actually incredibly positive waters, right? And these waters have the potential not only to be mechaper, right, but they have the potential to bring bracha, you know, to bring even, you know, the woman to, you know, to be zocha, to have a turnover, a new leaf, so to speak. One can argue, okay, so why is she being rewarded in such a way, right? I mean, so sometimes you mess up and you're rewarded with your zocha to have children. Could be that the children, you know, the opportunity to have a child, you know, creates a greater cement between her and the husband, and hopefully sets the marriage back on the right track, you know, so that whatever was leading her off the path, again, she wasn't totally innocent. She certainly had yichud with some guy. The hope is not just that the child is going to be a reward. The child is going to be an instrument, hopefully, to bring the couple back together and, you know, to hopefully restore some stability to this marriage, which clearly, you know, needs some work, you know, in order to be, to get back together again. Right? It's somewhat similar, actually, to what Chazal say about the Ketores. You know, the Chazal say that after the Maisa with Korach, so Klal Yisrael complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, the Ketores is terrible. Ketores kills us. Right? The Masai v'Chamishim Ish brought Ketores, and they were killed. So that's what Ravon Shalom says, the Magefa will break out, and then Aaron HaKohen will take the Ketores, and it will be Mechaper for the people. And they should see that the Ketores is not just an instrument of destruction, it's an instrument of redemption. So too, the Meisota and the Meshech Chochmah's understanding have that dual role. They are both a drink of destruction, but a drink of redemption and of kapara at the same time. Okay, I just wanted to speak about one Meshech Chochmah having to do with Nazir. And we'll see if we can get in two, see what the timing is like. We'll take a look on Shin Tes Zayin. The top left-hand column, Kol Yemein Nizro Kodesh Hashem. And if you take a look in the after Salta, of course, the pasuk talks about Nazir, Perek Vav, pasuk Ches, Kol Yemein Nizro, all the days of his Nazirus, says the pasuk, Kodesh Hashem, he is sanctified to God. And then the next pasuk Tes, says the Chiyavus Meisalav the Tetzav Pistam, when a person dies sudden, this is Parakvav Pasuk Ches and Tes, right? He's holy to God, but if somebody dies in his vicinity, all of a sudden, with Timei Rosh Nizrael, so then he becomes Tamei, and then he has to shave, and, you know, be Mechafir, as the Pasuk says a little bit later on. What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'chiter alom esher chato al hanofesh. Right? The Kohen brings the carbon for the Nazir on account of the fact that he sinned because of his proximity to this dead body. So when you read the Pesukim, you think, you know, this poor Nazir gets a bum rap. I mean, what did he do wrong? So the guy, you know, he's at a party. The guy, of course, he's, you know, he's sticking to soft drinks, right? You know, at this party, no wine for him, right? But, yeah, he's at this party, and all of a sudden, a guy drops dead two feet away from him. What do you want from the poor guy? What, he needs a kapara. Well, for what? What did he do wrong? You know, so Meshach Chacham puts these Pesukim together in a fascinating way. Pirush. So the left-hand column on Shin Tes Zayin, the third line from the top, Kol Yemein Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Hashem, Pirush. Altid Meshach Kulosav Yitzkadesh. You shouldn't think that the Nazir simply does holy actions, but that he himself isn't fundamentally holy. No. Avatzmuso Eino Kadosh. You know, you might think that he himself is not holy, just he does holy things. Not so. Lachain Omar, Kol Yemein Yisrael, Kadosh Hu Lashem. That's what our pasuk says. All the duration of his Nazirus, as long as he's a Nazir, he is holy to Hashem. Ki hu nase kadosh b'atzmuso. He becomes holy himself. But it's gav b'malosso, and elevated in his level. Kivon shu nifrod min ataivos, v'nivdo min hamosoros, v'nivar b'mikol eile. Once he separates himself from his earthly desires and excesses, hu nase zach b'chom riuso, he becomes purified in a material sense, the Nalavi Atsnusa, and elevated in his very essence. He becomes a holy man. Not to say he's doing holy things, he becomes a holy man. So that's what the Pasuk then follows up with as follows. V'lochein om avichi omus omeitala v'fesah. Shloha yitzorek lihizor mizekiu onus sehevi v'ozlo v'sipir alomi asher chatol anofesh. So it goes to the Pesukim we mentioned before. And of course the question is, does the Meshech Chachma, what does the Torah have a taina on this poor Nazir, that he needs a kapara because somebody died in his vicinity? What do you want? As the Meshech Chachma says, Shaloya Tzarkli Zorim Yisek, you Anus. It was beyond his control. How could he be held accountable for that? You want to know why he's held accountable? I'll tell you, says the Meshech Chachma. Firush. Kivan Shu Ish Kadosh Verum Amayla. Once we've already established that the Nazir is an elevated, holy person, the fact that someone died in his vicinity is held against him. Why? Because if you were really that holy, no one would die around you. What? Yes, I'll bring you a raya, says the Meshech Chacham. Right, as the Gemara says in Makos, Bahashi Yoshev, Harotseach Admos Kohen Gadol. Right, the one who killed accidentally has to stay in the Ur Mikla until the Kohen Gadol dies. Why? What's the connection? Because if the Kohen Gadol was enough of a tzaddik, he would have been able to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam successfully, that no one would be killed accidentally during his tenure. The fact that someone dies, is murdered accidentally during the tenure of the Kohen Gadol, is a blot on the record of the Kohen Gadol, that he didn't daven well enough to the generation. More than that, v'hanozir maloso k'maylos ha-Kohen Gadol. The Nozir is like a Kohen Gadol. Shlishneim nezer alokav arosho. In both of them, it says that God's crown rests upon their heads. I mean, if you think about the restrictions that are placed on the Nozir, especially whose funeral he can't go to and whatnot, there are many restrictions that are similar to that of the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Pasuk says when it says that the Nazir has to bring a kapara because someone died in his vicinity. It's not the fact that he became Tommy, that was beyond his control. But the fact that someone died in his vicinity means that there's a chatsarin in his kedusha. That somehow his kedusha is not great enough to influence his surroundings. And he brings an astounding Gemara. Kumar Ahu, as the Gemara says also there in that Sugi in Makos, the Achle Ari, the Racha plus the Parsamine. To Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the great early Amora, late Tana, once had a man eaten by a lion within three parsos of his home. And Elio Anovi, who was a frequent visitor to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, didn't come and visit Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi for a period of time after that death happened in his vicinity. Why? So the Gemara Makkos implies that if a person is a big enough tzaddik, a big enough kadosh, his influence on his surroundings should be such that people shouldn't die in that way. People shouldn't be killed in an accidental, horrific fashion, like, you know, being eaten up by a lion or something of that nature. Somebody got eaten by a lion in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shua ben Levi within his 3 parasos. He's Rabbi Shua ben Levi isn't doing his job as a tzaddik. Right? As a tzaddik, you're held responsible for your entire vicinity. So Mimela, right, Eliyahu Novi doesn't come to visit him. You're a nazir. As a nazir, you're supposed to cast this kind of influence on your surroundings. If somebody died in your vicinity, so it's grounds, you know, it means that your kedusha is somehow lacking, and that you yourself need a kapara for that. V'lochein, often Irelo makes mitzvah may be karpa. Right? And that's what the Gemara says to Nazir, that even if the Nazir, comes across the Meis Mitzvah, which he has to bury, right? So you say, you're going to tell me that he has to bury the Meis Mitzvah, and at the same time, then he's going to have to go afterwards and bring a carbon. So, I mean, I thought you told me that that's what he has to do. Yeah, that's what he has to do, but at the same time, he's held accountable for the Meis Mitzvah, because had he really been enough of a kadosh, the person wouldn't have died, you know, in his vicinity. The death of the person, you know, is what ultimately is traced back to the Nazir himself.
In the Chassar is in the Nazir himself.
In the Chassar is in the Nazir himself, because had he reached the proper level of Kedusha, this person shouldn't have died in his vicinity.
I once saw a Gali Atzola that the Rav Tzadik HaKoyin says that even though you lack the Mechal Shabbos for Kuach Nefesh, but don't think because you're getting away. It shows there's a Chassar in you, because if you would be holding Shabbos the way you're supposed to, with full Kavana, you wouldn't come to this point.
Right.
So the Chassar is you yourself.
So that idea is very, very similar to what the Meshech Chacham was saying here by the Nazir. In other words, you're allowed to be, you hold the guy responsible because somebody died in his Baal HaAmos, you can't do anything about it. But on a certain level, it reflects, you know, there was a chassar in his level of Kedusha. Right?
It's not supposed to be the Nazir, though. If you get a Nazir, he's basically getting for self-improvement, and it's certainly from so it's around him. So I'm not sure why he's not involved.
So what you see from the Meshech Chachma, and really bringing it out, is a fascinating insight into the Nazir. We think of the Nazir as very self-centered. No, the Nazir is a guy who has a problem. He's the spiritual equivalent of an alcoholic. Right? He's got a problem, so you know he signs up for AA, goes through the 12 steps, you know, and he's working on self-improvement. Right? We think of, again, it's self-centered, not in a bad sense, but, you know, the role of the Nazir, we think, is basically self-improvement. So you see, from this Meshech Chachma, what the Meshech Chachma is suggesting is, we don't hold of such a thing in Yiddishkeit. You know, even to just say, I want to work on myself, you can't do that. You don't work on yourself in isolation. The role of the Nazir is to raise himself up because he needs it, but he's supposed to be an influence, even if you say just indirectly, he's supposed to be mashpia on his surroundings. No such thing as just you're working to improve yourself. A Jew is tied into his community. The Nazir raises himself up to be a kadosh, to be mashpia on the people around him, and if he ends up being quote-unquote self-centered, yeah, he improves himself with people are dropping dead in his vicinity, so then there's a chesaron in his nazirus. If you take that a little bit further, just on a homiletic level, so I mean, the implications of that are very profound and beautiful. A guy, you know, I'm working on myself. Great. Part of working on yourself is being mashpia on your community, being mashpia on your surroundings. Even if, okay, the Nazir is not running out and founding a mosque. You know, he's not involved in the community in a direct sense, but in an indirect spiritual sense, he's supposed to see himself as raising himself up to have a hashpa on those around him. You know, to create an aura of kedusha for those around him. If he sees himself just as a recovering alcoholic, so there's something wrong with that. You know, and
teaching by example.
Right, right. Or even if not by example, you know, just he creates an overflow of kedusha that then spills down to everyone around him. Right, but even. Right, but I think the idea that Meshech Chachma would say over here is that you don't work on, it's not stages, you don't work on yourself and then I work on the people. Part of working on myself is to make myself into a person of Kedusha And part of the way I view making myself a person of Kedusha is to overflow with Kedusha so that it spills over to the tzibur. I know in Chinuch, you know, many great mechanchim have given the mashal, a person who wants to be a mechanic has to fill himself up till the cup overflows. Meaning, when a mechanic learns himself, you know, learning and teaching all goes together. And if you fill yourself up with Torah, eventually the Torah gets to the tap of the cup and flows over, and then that's how you're mashpia and talmidim. If you don't fill yourself up to an extent, it's not going to flow over and influence the talmidim. So it's a two-way street. In other words, you fill yourself up with Torah, with Kedusha, with Tahara, in the hopes that there's going to be mashpia on others. If the Nozir doesn't see himself as being mashpia on others, even for those 30 days, he's lacking a certain element of what his mission is supposed to be all about. That's a tremendous idea in terms of, you know, the broader way we look at the Nozir. The Nozir is not a hermit, right? As we don't look at this guy as someone who locks himself, you know, in a room somewhere and doesn't want to have anything to do with the greater society. He's making himself Kaddish in order to make others, you know, the beneficiaries of his Kedusha, even if it's just for a short period of time.
He's
telling him there's no problem. Yeah. Right, 100%. So, you know, even someone with problems, you know, can be mashpia on the community in a positive way. Just one last, you know, nekuda with Nazir, and I'll maybe go through it a little bit quickly. On Shin Yud Zayin, the facing page, so the top right hand of the page, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk says, Bezos Tarat HaNazir, this is the law that regards to the Nazir. V'yom Melos Yemei Nizro, when he's done with his Nazirus, Yavi Oso El Pesach Ohel Moed, he should bring him to the entrance to the Ohel Moed. So the Pasha of Pshat is that Yavi Oso means he should bring himself. Right? You know, it's more modern Hebrew, we would say Yovi Atzmo. Right? But that's not what the Pasuk says. It says Yovi Oso, almost as if he's bringing that other guy over there. Right? So Rashi points this out, that Yovi Oso means Yovi Atzmo, because that Echo Mishlo She'etzim, Shaya Rav Yishmael Darish Ke. And Rav Yishmael points out that three times in Chumash, that Oso really means himself and not someone else. Okay, but begs the question, so why then doesn't the Chumash say, you know, Yavi Atzmo, or some other kind of Lashon, which would indicate that he brings himself, and that creates this misimpression. So the Lesha Chachma is a beautiful idea over here. V'chi Acherim Mevi'in Oso, Alohu Mevi Es Atzmo, Sifri, right? So again, as the Sifri points out, you know, he's bringing himself, he's not being brought by others. Hinei, Zman HaNaziros Lodizka V'tar Behedyam. The amount of time that the person has to be a Nazir, or should be a Nazir, is not explicitly mentioned in Chumash, even though we know that Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, that without qualification, Nazirus is a 30-day process. For whom is Shum Sheikar HaNazirus HuKamosh Amar Nazir LaHazir LaShem Ubir Shimon HaTzadik Shehu Kam Nazir Midorom Shepachaz Alav Yitzra. Basically, you know, the point of being a Nazir, again, if the Nazir has to improve something in his person, how long should it be a Nazir? Till you feel that you improved it. Right? So there's no set time. The person should be a Nazir until he feels that he did a good job. You can't really fix the time for the amount of time the person needs in order to improve himself. The person has to evaluate himself and see, did I do a good enough job? Did the Naziris take care of whatever problems I was dealing with? Maybe in 30 days I was able to take care of it. Maybe it will take me 100 days to take care of it. When can you tell that you've done, that the Naziris has accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish? It's when the desires that a person has don't interfere with his seichel, with his rational understanding. ulevavo eno chashuv ba'avas atzma, oz batuach ki kach me'anos ha'olam b'mezik ha'roi, v'lo liyavu l'mosoros. Va'adarabu, yehenu me'a'olam, yehei daito mureves bin abriyos. This is a fascinating idea. The Nazir is trying to reach a level of objectivity. And he's trying to be objective vis-a-vis himself. Most of us go through life being subjective vis-a-vis ourselves. Meaning, we can see evil and bad in others and in a scenario where we're not directly involved, but the minute it's us, so then all of a sudden, you know, our insight, you know, what we know is right, is clouded by our Yetzer Hara, our natural taifus. Right? In other words, you know, Mashal Ma'adav Adoma, you see a guy who's on a diet, right? And, you know, you see him reaching for a big pint of chocolate ice cream with fudge. So, from the outside, you look at it and you say, okay, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. Right? You know, the guy's a diabetic, you know, and he's not supposed to be having this thing with the sugar. You look at him, you know, from the outside, you know what's right over here. And, you know, as an outsider, you can tap him on the back and say, you know what, that double chocolate fudge ice cream, you know, it's really not a good idea for somebody who's trying to lose weight. You know, that those super duper, you know, extra sugar cookies, you know, as a diabetic, you should really stay away from them, right? And I'll check, from the outside, it's easy, you know, to tell somebody what the right thing to do is. But if you're the guy who has the craving for the double fudge chocolate, you know, go try to tell that to yourself. Right? Adam Karo Vezo Atma. In other words, you know, it's very easy to be objective with the other guy. But for ourselves, you know, subjectivity is the name of the game. The role of the goal of Nazirus is to get us to be objective vis-a-vis ourselves. And it's the same way that we look at that other guy who's reaching for the double fudge chocolate and say, you know, that's bad for him. When I reach for it, I should also have the presence of mind to be able to say, you know, that's bad for him. Him meaning me. Right? In other words, I could objectify myself, you know, without the negios, without, you know, that sense of subjectivity which naturally comes to a person. Right? V'lochein diber v'loshen shehu mevi atzmo kimevi ish acher. That's why when it comes time, malos yemei nizro, when the nazir has finished his nazirus, yavi oso, let him bring not himself, but let him bring him, because hopefully by the time that he's done with his nazirus, he's mastered the art of being able to view himself objectively. Right? Shekemevi ish acher. You bring yourself as if you were bringing someone else. Uvashkafa shuroa maila zulasa v'shaku b'mozne tzera ken yashkif al inyane atzmo. He looks at himself and he judges himself with the same objectivity that he would be judging someone else. When you reach that madrega of yavi otso, so then that's your malos yemei nizro. Then you know that the nazirus is done with, and you can bring the nazirus to an end. We don't have nazirus ourselves, but we should be zocha to whatever extent we can in our avodas Hashem to be able to see ourselves objectively on some level to be mekayim this idea of yavi yourself.